Kevin come up and give us our word for today.
Good morning, Grace. Good morning. How we doing? We doing. Look, this second service, man, y'all cheaters, man. Y'all didn't come in when that rained. Some of y'all seen that rain and turned back around and got back into bed, huh? Y'all came. Is it sunny out yet? Is it good weather out? All right. Well, that's good to know that when I leave here, it'll be good out there. Well, thank you guys for joining us this morning here. Our team has been, they didn't got smart. They said, man, the way we keep Pastor Kevin in the confinement of time is, hey, we make him preach every time on communion. The last two times, y'all, I didn't preach on communion. That's telling me something. They want me to hurry up and get up out of here, man. I don't know who been sending in surveys or something like that. But say, that dude preached long. So do my best to try to get y'all up out of here. So with that being said, I got a couple things, man, I want to let you guys know about, keep in front of you guys. Hey, we got a couple tools. If you guys know, we're in this series of Romans. We'll be 12 weeks in this thing. So we got a couple tools that we want you guys to grab so that you can follow along with us. So the first one is the journal, the Romans journal. It actually has the book of Romans in it, and it also has like some journaling pages in there on this. So you got to page of the book, and then you got some journaling parts over there. So great tool to follow along with and write as you're reading. And then this tool right here, which they don't have any of these left right now. We got to get more of these in, but this is actually the study, the 12-week study that we're going to be walking through. We won't be teaching from this, but it's a great tool, man, to journey with us and stay along with what Romans has and really just dive deep into it. So these two things, $5 each, you can get them from the informational counter. Like I said, this one, they don't have any more right now, but this one here, they should, unless they sold out at the first service. So make sure you go grab those and follow along with us there. And then the next thing we got is an awesome person of the body of grace here who's going to come up and read our passage of scripture for today, which is going to be Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. So if you're getting a Bible underneath your seat, the ESV Bible, that's going to be page 940. So you're going to turn to page 940. If you're in your journal, everybody ready for your journal? If you brought your journal in here, get extra credit. There you go. Get your extra credit. Wave it in the air like you just do care. Okay, there we go. All right. Everybody else, we're working on this. Cool. I was that kid in school. Hey, man, nah, I ain't got that. And that thing, we're going to be on page 10. So you're going to be starting on page 10 there. And then awesome, Monet, take it away. Moni, I'm sorry. Look, I didn't call it Monet and all. I'm sorry. Moni. There it is right there. Y'all listen up right there. Hey, here at Grace, we like to stand for the reading of the Word of God. And so if you can, stand to your feet and we're going to get the reading. Yep. Grab that for you. Oh. You would think I would have remembered, huh?
Romans 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judges those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and penitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works, to those who, by patience and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. On that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen, oh man. Can y'all give it up for Sister Moni right there? Thank you so much, sister. Thank you. And sorry again for mispronouncing that. I did it both service, y'all. Look, I feel like that's like, that equates to like double Starbucks gift cards right there. I think that, will that make up for it? I think so. I don't know. But hey, if you don't mind praying with me here, Heavenly Father, have your way in this place, God. Bring about transformation, revelation, as I communicate your word, God, in an effective and a careful manner, Lord. Do a work in me first, God, as you do a work in your people, Lord. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. Well, let's get to it. I got my tennis shoes on. It's time to go to work. I'm ready to do this thing, baby. Y'all better get ready. Y'all better get ready. I got to go pretty quick because, like I said, we got to make it happen. But I need you to lock in with me. The title of my message is going to be called Mirrors. 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 That's what we got going. We got mirrors everywhere. It's watching you. Now, I do have to say before we get into this, hey, man, is this affecting anybody? If it is, raise your hand. I'll try to reposition and whatnot. I say that because I got a few people that was like, it was turned like this way, and so it kind of messed with somebody that was over there. The whole mess, I'm like, that is not good. So if this is bothering you, like, please let me know, and I'll make sure I get that turned. I'm in a different direction, but it'll be for the message. I don't see nobody's hand or anything. But so that was the first thing. That's why I love that we get like two times at this thing. Like, we get to do it over a little bit, like if we messed up. It's good. The second thing I want to do, and I pray that you guys, especially from the first service, I pray that there be a grace and forgiveness for me, because what I never want to do is mishandle or speed past something about and bring about more confusion than what it already is. The Bible in itself is confusing at times. And the book of Romans, man, it could be a book where we easily want to check out because of the language that's in there. And so I say that because first service, I tried to give an FYI to get everybody on the same page and try to track with some of the language that's being used. But I was, graciously encouraged and a little bit correct. It kind of felt like, but I was like, that's felt good, you know, like corrected on some of those things so that I could be clear with you guys and not be confusing. So I need everybody to lock in and track with me. And so first, like I said, forgive me. And I pray that this be the replay that they play back, because I want to make sure that we are clear whenever I preach and whenever I share things across. So if we go to that next slide, this was my FYI for your information. So if you're reading Romans, the book has this language about like Jews and Gentiles, but you have to know it's a reflection of the Old Testament. What Paul is talking about, it may be some language that was used. You have to have prior knowledge to that. But since we're jumping into Romans, and some of you guys may not have that prior knowledge, you got to get on. You got to get up to speed, or else you'll want to check out. But if we lock in and we get what we need, man, I'm telling you, we'll get everything out of Romans that we should have. So in the first service, like I said, I kind of went through this and whatnot, but I wasn't 100% clear because just time-wise, this stuff is a sermon within itself, but I want to make sure I be clear with this, and I'll even cut another piece of my message just so that we don't miss this. So the first thing I want you to know is that unless this Jew part, you're going to see Paul talk about Jews. Now, unless you are born through the line of Jacob, an actual Israelite person, a Jew is not you. Unless you was born through the line of Jacob, the Israelite people, that's who Paul is talking about when he says the word Jews. Hey, we're born into this bloodline family. Do we got that? Thumbs up if you got that. I'm going back to the classroom days. We good? Jew. Unless you were born, unless you went back and did your ancestry and it lines back up to Jacob, that ain't you. Okay? Okay. Now here, Gentiles. A Gentile would have been a Greek or a person who did not believe in God as their God. They didn't worship the one true God as their God. And unless you were in this bloodline, you would have been considered that no matter what. So that's kind of like double. So if you weren't from this bloodline and you didn't believe, that made you a Gentile. So we got that there. You'd have been a Gentile if you were not born there. So if you look back, you're a Gentile today. You're not from the bloodline of Jacob, which will never change. That'll never change. But Paul uniquely throws this in here. We've seen the word true Jews in there because this is where the invitation comes in at. Because whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, that has nothing to do with this true Jew here. What a true Jew is, what Paul is trying to say is a true Jew is a Gentile or a Jew, whether they come. The thing that he needs to get across is you got to do the do to be a true Jew. It's where your heart is. It's the heart of the matter when it comes to being a true Jew. Now, I get it. It's semantics, word, and everything like that. But this would have been a person, or this is a person today, will be called a disciple or a Christian or a person that's following what God and obeying God's word. Do we got that? We tracking there? You would be a Christian if you do the do. Not the mountain do, but do the do. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So unless you go do your ancestry and you line it back up to Jacob, you'll never be a Jew unless you come from that line. You'll always be in this Gentile area here. And Gentiles, they'll never be Jews because they weren't born into the line. But Paul brings the invitation here to the family of God. So now we can be chosen people as Christians because of our doing the do to be a true Jew. It's about the heart of the matter. Then there was one other thing I wanted to add in there. It's about that you're going to see something about the law. It says the law when we talk about that. The law is not the law out there in the world. Like if you break a law, civil law or nothing. What Paul is talking about is the law that was given in the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, there we go. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So the first five books in the Bible, those would have been what the law is laid out in those five books right there. If you go back and read those, there's this law that's laid out within those books. And that's the law that Paul is talking about when he talks about, man, staying true to the law or doing the do, whatever you're doing. Hey, man, he's talking about that. Now, for us today, we don't actually live based off of that. Like in the physical term, we have the Holy Spirit that's inside of us that's written the law on our hearts, what the Bible tells us. So we shouldn't need to have someone give us these commandments in our face, because if we're Christians, we're true Jews, the people that have been invited into God's family and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We now have the Holy Spirit who is writing these laws on our heart. They're not obsolete. They're not gone. They're just on our hearts now. So are we good? We tracking? Do you feel like that was clear, y'all? Give me a round of applause if that was clear. Thank you. Now let's get to the mirrors, because here Paul is starting off in Romans 1 with the mirror on the world. I remember Beauty and the Beast when they turned the cameras on. Ooh, wow. I thought that was going to happen here. Happened in Beauty and the Beast. I just thought it was happening here. But Paul has the mirror on the world. But then immediately in Romans 2, Paul turns the mirror inwardly so that the Jews could see themselves in comparison to where the world was during that time. And what Paul's conclusion was when he looked at their evaluation, and his conclusion was, hey, the mirror that y'all are using, or that y'all say y'all are using, must not be the right mirror compared to how you guys are living. And so he says, hey, man, I need you to check that mirror, because that must be like one of the magical mirror on the wall. Because I don't know how, y'all know what that's talking about? It's that mirror that when you put it on everybody else's stuff is magnified. Everybody, you can see clearly like what's their problem or whatnot, what they got going on. But man, when you turn that thing in, magically, flaws and wrongs disappear. You get to shaking that thing like, man, I know I can't be this perfect, man. I know, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this mirror. I can't be this perfect. You say, oh, I am that perfect. But boy, when you turn it out there, it's like, oh, I see what you got wrong. Oh, look at that. You need me to help you with that. That's what we do because, see, we got these magical mirrors. And that's what Paul is saying. Y'all must got that magical mirror. But I need you to turn that thing inward and let the real mirror work on you. See, we got to stop when the church and the reflection that we see is off, then we got something wrong in the church. If the reflection that we see is not the same reflection that God is giving us, then we got to start moving to what I call the miracle mirror. We got to start stop stepping in front of this magical mirror and step into the miracle mirror. What is a miracle mirror, Pastor Kevin? You up here using all these words and everything, getting me all confused. What's the miracle mirror? Well, ain't no guessing there. The miracle mirror is God's word. I found this quote as I was studying, and it said, "The Bible is a mirror, not a window." The Bible is a mirror, not a window. And see, if we stand in front of the Word of God and stop looking at it through it as a window to other people and start looking at it as a mirror to ourselves and allowing it to examine us and work on us, the good, bad, and the ugly, the indifferent, if we start doing that, then this Word will start doing something. We'll start seeing some real transformation when we stop looking at the Word as a window and start using it as a mirror for ourselves. Yeah, that was good. Somebody caught that right there. And I call it a miracle mirror because me personally, that's how my journey was. Because it was kind of like, you know, people get to asking, man, what do you mean? How did you change? When they get to asking, like, how you get to where you are now? They want the formula. What they want this game plan or something. I'm thinking like, they say, man, what happened? How did you get? I'm like, man, I don't know. So, I mean, two blinkers, I don't know. Like, I blinked two times and it's, I don't know when it started happening. They said, man, how did it happen? I mean, I don't know. Man, what did you feel when it started happening? I don't know. A twinkle in my toes. I don't know. I can't tell you what happened. All I can tell you is that I remember when I picked up the God's word and I start letting it work on me and I surrendered and sacrificed everything that ugly that was inside of me and I start letting it work on me and I just stood there even though it hurt, even though it was times where I was crying, even though it was upset and I had to deal with me, I let it work on me and the mess that I was is a miracle that's standing in front of you today. Yes. So it was a miracle mirror for me. But see, I want to get a little bit deeper with this miracle mirror thing because the miracle mirror nullifies neutrality. The miracle mirror nullifies neutrality. You say, what do you mean there? So once we get exposed to God's word and his truth, and we really get exposed to it, hey man, there's no middle grounds. We either got two options. We either going to suppress it or accept it. One of the two things. Whenever we are exposed to this word, you're going to either suppress it or accept it. And see, a lot of us think we can play in that middle ground, but Paul is telling these people right here. He said, no, no, no. Hey, man, through God's eyes, he only sees those people that are doing the do, or he sees Gentiles, people who are non-believers. That's what God sees. He doesn't see this middle ground. He doesn't see this neutrality. So you're either Christian or you're not Christian. You're either advancing the kingdom or you're combating with the kingdom of God. You say, well, how am I combating? I ain't got to choose. I ain't got to do that. See, that's the problem. Our stubbornness to receive and accept God's words is our combating with the kingdom of God. Your stubbornness and suppression to what his word says, that's exactly how you're combating. You see, Jesus said, if they're not for us, they're against us. Yeah, somebody reading their word. I heard that over there. You see, there's no neutrality when we get exposed to this. There'll always be that drifting, man. I got any people who like to be on the water, any boat people, any people like work like boats or whatnot, okay? See, if you understand what a boat, when it's immersed in water, A boat is always moving. Even if there's an anchor dropped, the boat is always moving. It's always ever so slightly moving because it's being moved by the winds and the waves. It's never not still unless it's on water, unless it's on land. And that's just like us. We're called in the Bible, we're called vessels as well. A vessel is like a boat or a ship or something that's community. Hey, we are never not moving. We're always being pushed and moved in a certain direction. So that leads me to say, for some of y'all who say, well, I ain't choosing. I ain't got to make a choice. I'm telling you right now, your lack of choice is your choice, boo-boo. Your lack of choice is your choice, big dog. Yeah. There's no neutrality. The enemy wants you to think that you can stand in the middle and play that middle ground. But no, no, no. He knows exactly what's happening. You're slowly drifting to where he needs you. And see, this is where it got real for me, because when I was exposed to this truth, I knew what I should have chosen, but I didn't choose it. And quite frankly, I didn't know how. At that time, I didn't know how to choose it. I told you it was difficult. I didn't know how to choose it. This life that they were talking about. I was afraid that, man, if I start choosing this, then I'm going to waste time. All I'm going to do is start this walk, start this journey, and I'm going to waste time and be right back where I'm at because it ain't going to work. Because, you know, you get all of these things in your mind. And then I got to thinking, oh, man, if I do take this Christian route, man, what are my old friends are going to think, my non-believing friends going to think about me when I tell them, hey, man, I'm cool with hanging out with you, but I can't keep doing the same thing we were doing going down this road. So I had all of these different things inside of me. But one thing I couldn't say is that I'm just going to stay neutral. I knew I couldn't say that no more because I had been exposed to the miracle mirror. It started working already. I could only accept it or suppress it. And so you say, why not? Why can't I stay neutral? I know some of y'all, this is hurting you right now because you got to make a choice. And it's hurting you. You say, why can't I stay neutral? Well, Paul tells us, if you still got your word open, let's look at Romans 2:15. Let's look at Romans 2:15. It says, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. You see, the reason why we can't stay neutral is because God put a conscience inside of each and every one of us. He put a conscience inside of each and every one of us. You see, now let me tell you, God's original desire, God's ultimate desire is for all of us to accept Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit be our moral compass, which is what our conscience really is. But God desires for that to be the Holy Spirit. He wants that. That's who he wants to be our moral compass. But God, he's so omniscient. He knows it all. He's just a smart. I love God. He's so smart, y'all. Because he said, on the off chance that they don't use their free will, because it is a choice. You get the free will to choose the Holy Jesus and the Holy Spirit or not. You get to choose. He said, on the off chance, if they don't choose Jesus in my spirit, I'm still going to have a way to account for what they do.
That's right.
See, he bad. Tattoo bad. He said, I'm still going to have a way to tell you when you stand before that judgment seat, before Jesus Christ to be judged, he's going to be able to say, I got an account of what you did. Oh, no, no, no. You knew right from wrong. Some of them are going to say, oh, God, I did not. No, I wasn't one of those Christian people. I didn't go to church. I didn't say, he's going to say, that's fine. That's fine. You thought I was crazy. You think I didn't? No, no, no. He said, I'm going to give you a conscience. That's not his first option. That's not who he wants you to lead you. That's not who he wants to direct you to keep there. But he said, on the off chance if you don't choose the Holy Spirit and Jesus, then I'll have something. You won't be at nobody will be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. You either accepted it or you suppressed it. See, the best example I can give you is, it's like the meter maids. Y'all know the meter maids that be around and whatnot. Man, you think, oh, man, I can go into Kroger. I can slip into Kroger real quick and get a gallon, $3 gallon of milk. And then you come out, you got a $10 ticket on your car. That's a $13 gallon of milk. That's some expensive milk, ain't it? It's like, my God, where was you at? You know, you do that look like, okay, I just got to make sure they're. It's like, I didn't see them at all. I ain't mad at them because they're doing their job. I'm just saying they don't rest. And God, he doesn't rest. He's taken an account through the Holy Spirit, and he's taken an account through our conscience. And I know I want to circle back to, like I said, to this neutrality. And I know it may seem like, man, I'm drilling this thing down with the no neutrality, but I feel like me personally, I feel like this is where our church is today, y'all. This is where the church is at large right now. We at this place of neutrality and apathy. It's kind of like, I can go to church or not. You know, I can give or not. I can forgive or not. You know, I can be kind or not. I can put that on social media. We just so neutral. We just don't understand. And I'm telling you right now, church, this is a dangerous place for us to be in our walk of faith, to be in this neutral state and be in this apathetic state. Nobody's on fire for the kingdom of God anymore. Nobody's on fire for Jesus Christ. Nobody's on fire for transformation and change because we're in this neutral state. It is what it is. No. I want to warn us today that we got to get out of this place of neutrality. Because what Romans 1 said that we looked at last week when Pastor Doug was preaching, 18 through 21, I'm summarizing it. It says that we are exposed when we try to suppress the truth that we've been exposed to and try to stay neutral or rebellious. We knowingly or unknowingly will start creating these false speculations and ideas about God. Yes. In our hearts, you start saying things about God. You know what I mean? We say things like, through a tragedy or nature or trauma or something, we see certain things and we just brush it off. Oh, that can't be God. That's just a coincidence. Or we say, man, it ain't no man up there just sitting on a throne, man, being like a puppet master, Geppetto and everything. We ain't no Pinocchios down. Like, we get to saying all of these crude jokes. And then that leads us to these accusations about who God is and who he isn't. These are all false speculations. And then Romans 1 tells us, man, when we get to that place, our hearts start becoming darkened. Whether we know it or not, your heart start becoming dark. You're that same person, but your heart's becoming darker and darker because of your false speculations about who God is. You see, some of the worst times, the darkest times when I was in the dark, some of the darkest moments I was when I was walking in sin was the moments I suppressed God's truth. When I would use alcohol and pills and substances to try to shut off my emotions, my feelings, and my conscience so that I can have an excuse as to why I should stay in my sin. The truths that my grandma and other people had instilled in me. Hey, man, I said, no, I don't want to feel those things. I don't want to feel this conviction that I'm feeling. So it caused me to drink more and take more substances and everything like that. Also that I could suppress it because of the weight was too heavy. And see, this is what happens. Start making false speculations about God. And see, the Jews, they never even thought about playing around with God's name, as my granny would say. See, they started using names. They would even use his name. They used names like this right here. Real quick, what is that one at with the Yahweh and all of that? I don't know if they got right there. See, they didn't even speak God's name in vain. Look, they used names like Yahweh or Jireh. Adonai, Elohim, I am. See, these were names that they would give for God because in fear and reverence of using his name in the wrong sense. They didn't play with God's name, but today we just toss his name around in vain. We blaspheme his name. We point him out for things that happen in the world, in this fallen world. We're pointing and putting on. Those are false speculation, and whether you want it to or not, it's having an immediate effect on your spiritual life. But I didn't choose it for it. No, it don't matter if you don't choose it. The Bible says we fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against flesh, but it's principalities and powers in the unseen world. So whether you want it to have an effect on you or not, it's going to have it. Your lack of choice is your choice. So what do we do here then? Because see, a lot of us today, you've been exposed to truth. And this is my fear because I did it. This is what you do. You go deeper and deeper into what Paul in Romans 2:16 says, we go deeper and deeper into those secret places. Some of y'all going to go deeper and deeper today into that secret place. You got exposed to another level of truth. And if you don't accept it and stand in front of the miracle mirror, don't try to turn sideways. I know how some of y'all do. I turn sideways, I look good. No. Now don't try to look good in there. Because see, some of us, we won't stand in front of the miracle mirror. We only stand in front of mirrors that make us feel good and look good. That's the only mirrors we stand in front of. You see, what mirror do you have up? What mirror are you allowing to give you a reflection of you? Is it your spouse? Is it your job? Is it your kids? Is it your bank account? What's giving you a reflection of you? And is it giving you an accurate reflection? Or like I said, do you only stand in front of mirrors that make you look good? Because, see, that's dangerous territory. And we start creeping further and further into those secret places. But Paul tells us, just because the world ain't judging your secret place because they can't see it, God's going to judge that secret place. He see it. He see your secret place. You hide it well to the world. But God is saying, I'm going to get a hold of that. So even with all of this, because I know this is a heavy word. It's hard. It's heavy. But I want to land this plane with some encouragement, because even though we are hiding in our secret places, even though we live contradictory lives to what we put out there to the world, which is dangerous, because that's why Gentiles out there, non-believers, are blaspheming God's name because of our representation of him. So even though we're doing all of that stuff there, Paul says God is still kind to us. He's still kind to us. What? God, we did all of these things to you, and we're not looking at trying to, but Paul says he's trying to do all of that so that you can turn to him. He still wants you to turn to him. I know you may do stuff to people out there, and they don't want you to turn. They want you to turn away from them and run far away from them. But God says, no. I want you to turn to me. That's why I keep being kind to you. Some of you, if you're honest today, hey, man, you don't know why your life is where it is right now. How you got this wonderful marriage. How you got these wonderful, healthy kids. How you got this wonderful job. You got all of these things in your life. You got breath in your body. Because I know some of y'all, you're going to say, man, my life is in hell. My life is hell right now. So what are you talking about, Pastor Kevin? I get it. But let me tell you, it was something interesting as I was doing my studies. Hey, go back to that Yahweh, the name for God. And I got it off, I had to tell you, I got it off of social media. I know that's contradictory. Like, how can you get stuff off social media to preach about? Every now and then you can find a gem on social media there. But this word Yahweh, YHWH, this guy had this interest. He had a tattoo of it, and he explained what the why he got the tattoo. So if you look at the YH, it's the inhale of your breath. And the WH is the exhale of your breath. This is a name for God. So even when your life looks like hell and you're going through a storm, if you got breath in your body, that's God's kindness over your life. Somebody should have rejoiced right there, because you think your destruction is here. You thinking that God ain't in my situation. He need to show up. He already showed up because you up. You got breath in your body. You keep breathing. He's saying, say my name when you say it. You say my name whether you want to or not, whether you believe in me or not. But that's all because he's kind to us, y'all. So how dare we keep spitting in his face by how we live in our lives, how we reflect our lives about him, our representation of him. How dare we do that? But he keeps being kind to us. We're getting ready to go into communion, and this is a moment. Paul tells us, he says, man, hey, man, before you even take these sacraments, these holy sacraments, examine yourself. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to take this moment to examine ourselves. So our ushers are going to come around, and they're going to give you guys some elements or whatnot. And it's going to be a little different there. If Josh is up here, man, I want to have Josh come in, and we're going to worship. And that's going to be our moment to to examine ourselves. So don't open elements and things just yet. I want to give us a couple more, because I want to really, this may be the first time that you've actually examined yourself for more than 20, 30 seconds. I need you to turn the mirror inwardly right now. I need you to turn, no, turn it halfway. You know, some of y'all like to peek. Oh, is that me? Oh, no. This moment of reflection, I want you to turn that mirror in. And before you take these elements, man, I want you to really say, hey, man, God, this is where I'm at. This is the real me. I need you to give that to him before you take these holy elements. So if we can, we can come up this way, Josh. And then, hey, we're going to have this self-reflection moment right here. Put yourself in front of that mirror right now. See how God sees you right now. And then I'll be back up and we can take those elements. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he had a last supper with his disciples. And he said, you're going to do something in remembrance of me. And he first said, you're going to take the body, you're going to take the bread as a representation of my body that's going to be broken for you. And so that's why we partake in that. So if you peel back the layers there, let us partake of the bread. And also in that same sitting there, they had a cup that was being passed. And he said, do this as a sign of my new covenant. The new covenant of grace that was going to be the pavement there. Jesus' blood that was going to usher in a new covenant. So that's why we partake in this. Let us do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the body that was broken and beaten and bruised on our behalf. And we thank you for the blood that was shed to God to cover our sins, to be payment for it, God. God, we're under a new covenant, Lord. And it's all because of your kindness, God. Nothing that we've done. We can't earn it, God. It's a free gift. And so, God, I pray that we accept that, that we continue to reflect what you desire for us to. God, through your word, you give us what that is, God. So I pray that we continue to keep coming back to your feet so that we can reflect the image of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, a few people, they prayed for you before service, and here's what they heard. They said that they feel like someone is wanting to recommit their life to Christ. They feel like somebody was struggling with hip issues. Feel like someone was struggling with comparing themselves to other people, and someone's needing healing for sick needing recovery. Someone's healing from a tooth or a tongue. Someone's dealing with like left elbow pain, and then this last one, someone's struggling with patience there. And so if any of that resonates with you or whatnot, hey, man, please come down. We got a trained staff of people who pray. And so they want to pray for you here. If you're online, you can dial into that line there and they can get you in a private room so that someone can pray for you. But if none of that resonated with you, if the thing that resonated with you is, hey, man, I haven't been standing in front of the miracle mirror. I've been standing in front of these magical mirrors. I haven't been looking at me. And if God spoke to your heart today, don't suppress that truth anymore. Come down. Accept it. Be prayed over. If any of that resonated with you, come down. We want to join with you guys. All right, y'all, is we worshiping? Are we good? I think we good. Let's get them out of here. Let's go. Children's team may be happy with me. Hey, man, Grace, thank you guys. And I pray, like I said, asking for your forgiveness, actually the first service as well, too. We want to make sure we do our best with handling God's word and not bringing more confusion than what we're doing. So I pray that message bless you. Like I said, go be and have a great Sunday. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Grace.